Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we approach your word this morning, we come to you asking you to open up our hearts and minds. We praise you for the word. We praise you that you've taken the veil away through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 9. It reads, "In having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If you recall from last week, the writer of Hebrews in this particular group of verses is addressing the Hebrews who have intellectually acknowledged Christ, but they have not taken Christ as their Savior. And you recall that last week I mentioned that there are a lot of people that I believe in modern America who intellectually acknowledge the existence of Christ, but they are not believers. In these particular verses, it said that they were dull of hearing, and the original language, dull, is lazy. In other words, the word did not have an effect in their life. We're going to focus on the balance of the verses this morning. Verse 12, it says that they ought to be teachers. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." I want to point out in verse 12 that he's contrasting in 12 through 14 people that just hear and the word has no effect with people that actually encounter Jesus Christ. Because see, when we come to encounter Jesus, when we are saved by the Lord Jesus, you see a dramatic effect in the believer's life. God changes us. He shapes us. We don't just intellectually acknowledge Him and wait for heaven. In Romans 10, verse 11, it says, "For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, if you remember in Hebrews, it says that they were dull of hearing. Now, that implies that they were listening to something, right? They were dull of hearing. In other words, as the word was presented, it did not have an effect on their life. They were lazy. There was no change. It was just listening without an effect. But something happens when the word is preached, and through faith we encounter Jesus Christ. We do not believe in a salvation that doesn't change us. Salvation changes us. It's more than just a reservation in heaven. We believe in regeneration. The Bible says that we become a new person in Christ Jesus. There is a new birth. And from that moment on, God is transforming us. He's changing us. And He makes us teachers. He said, by this point, you ought to be teachers. What does that mean? We're not talking about everybody filling a Sunday school class or teaching a Bible study. The Bible does say that we all ought to teach. And let's look at some verses this morning in that regard. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. It reads, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, in forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In other words, the church, my friends, and the church was established by Jesus Christ. It's not a man-made invention. And as we come together, we should teach one another. We should admonish one another. Well, how does that happen? If you and I have a Christ-centric life, if we are dwelling in the Word, if we are spending time in the Word, it is just natural that the Word flows out of us to the outworking of the Spirit. And in being in conversation and fellowship with one another, we're able to teach one another. That's what fellowship is about. Fellowship, teaching, serving. Now, you have to have a relationship with one another, right, to be able to do that? Christianity isn't an individual sport. It's a team sport. And as we come together and as we know one another and as we spend time together, the topic of life comes up, doesn't it? Real life, not just the cursory, "Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. That's great." When really, things may not be so fine. Things may not be so great. Bear one another's burdens. Being able to have a real conversation with a brother and sister in Christ and say, "Man, I need for you to pray for me. What do you think I should do in this situation?" And you can search the Word together. You can look at the Word together. You can have a relationship that goes beyond just that cursory, "How are you?" That's what church is about. That we have real relationships. And that by having the Lord dwell in our hearts, by having a Christ-centric view, by spending time in His Word, we have the Word ready and at hand to be used. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness in fear." If you are a regular reader of the Word of God, you will have the Word ready in your heart. Not only for your fellow brothers and sisters, but also as you interact with the lost world, we should be ready to give our reason for hope. We live in a hopeless world, don't we? We live in a hopeless world that desperately needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a believer, you are able to teach. Now, the problem with this particular group of Hebrews that was being addressed is they were babies. They couldn't comprehend. As much as you would approach a six-week-old and say, 2 + 2 = 4, the six-week-old is never going to be able to get it. They can't comprehend it. And that's what was happening to the Hebrews. They heard the Word, but they were dull, and the Word was not taking action in their life. They had intellectually acknowledged the existence of Christ, but they weren't regenerated. See, we believe in a salvation that changes us. And when we are changed, the Spirit works through us, and out of us comes the wisdom of Jesus Christ, not only to one another, but to a lost world. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. It reads, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." I want to point out a couple of very important things in a PC world. In a PC world, we're not supposed to be offensive, are we? We should really keep our distance. And, you know, it's okay if people believe certain things, and we really shouldn't rock the boat. And after all, religion's a private thing, right? Religion may be a private thing, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is not private. And I want to point out something that is not PC in a PC world. It says in verse 18, "He has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Later on, he says, "We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ." In other words, we're teachers. We're teachers. My friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ is being carried out in our lives to a lost world. Somebody shared the gospel with you. Somebody. I know that there are a few examples of people being distraught in a hotel room and opening up the nightstand and picking up the Gideon Bible and somebody coming to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But somebody put that Bible in that nightstand, didn't they? Somebody looked at you and said, let me tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some preacher stood up in a pulpit and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is up to us. It is up to us. That is our ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And don't listen to the devil when he tells you don't share your faith because it might be offensive. It is offensive not to share your faith in Jesus Christ because he's given us that ministry. He's given it to us. It's up to us. What if we stop sharing? This is the problem right now. The church is looking inward. The church goes, man, it's bad out there. It's bad. It's crazy. Let's all get into the sanctuary and huddle up and talk about how bad things are. That's not what God told us to do. He said that we have the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we're ambassadors. We're out in the community. We should be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be teachers in word and in deed. In other words, what you say has to match up with how you live. I mean, after all, if you're talking about how wonderful Jesus is, you better be living it. You better be living it. If you're telling people that Jesus is precious, are you living that way? Is he really precious to you? Is he really wonderful to you? That's what he saved us for. We should exalt him as Savior and Lord. We should exalt him as the answer to a society without hope. See, we believe in dramatic salvations. Salvation that changes. Salvation that transforms. And we have plenty of biblical examples of that. Doesn't mean that we see writing in the sky. It means that we're changed. We're radically transformed. Think about the 11 disciples. Jesus didn't go to seminary and recruit the 11, did he? Varied backgrounds, interesting people. And they were transformed. He said, follow me. And they left all and followed him. They were transformed and gave their life for Jesus Christ. How about Paul? Was he looking for Jesus? He wasn't, was he? But he encountered Jesus, didn't he, on the road to Damascus? And he was radically transformed and changed and began to teach. The disciples taught. Paul taught. And then we get to my favorite, James and Jude, half-brothers of Jesus, who didn't believe that their brother was the Messiah. And somewhere from that point of denying him to the upper room, they meet Jesus Christ. They meet Jesus Christ. James, of course, is an author of James, and Jude is the author of Jude. James ends up as a leader in the church at Jerusalem. They both die a martyr's death. Now, my friends, your family knows you backwards and forward. And to me, there's no better proof that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life than looking at James and Jude going from disbelief to belief to teaching to martyrdom. They died for their Savior. And for their belief. Well, how about us? I will submit to you that the gospel should have such a profound meaning in our life that we teach, that we proclaim, that we look at a lost world groping for answers and looking everywhere else except the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we look at them with such boldness and we can say, Jesus can solve that in your life. Jesus is the answer in your life. Jesus will give you peace in your life. We're commanded to do it. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is telling us to teach, to proclaim. Now, we can approach this in a legalistic fashion, and quite frankly, it's not going to go anywhere. We can approach it and say, well, gee, that's what God's told me to do, and so I'm going to go and I'm going to do this and this and this, or I'm going to create some type of system, where I'm going to go out and I'm going to do these things. Or I'm going to have this goal and I'm going to go out here and every single day I'm going to do whatever to accomplish this commandment to teach. Let me give you a better alternative than that. When you walk with the Lord every single day, when you recognize in your life every single day that you desperately need Jesus Christ, not just to get to heaven, but you need Him every day. When you dwell in His Word every day, when you worship Him every day, when you exalt Him every day, when every day you're thankful of the grace and mercy and forgiveness that you have through Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about some legalistic system about teaching. When you're in love with Jesus, it just comes out. It's natural. It's like talking about a best friend. It's like introducing your family, introducing your spouse. It's someone that you have a relationship with. You're not ashamed of it. You don't have to hide it. You just talk about it. Don't get caught up in a system. Just love Jesus. And when you love Jesus, He's easy to talk about. He's easy to present. You're comfortable with Him being the solution. But when we get off track, when we let the things of this world blind us, when we start thinking that our job is more important than Jesus, when we start thinking that material possessions are more important than Jesus, when pleasure is more important than Jesus, guess what? You're not going to talk about Jesus. You're not going to mention Him. Why is it? Because your heart is somewhere else. But when your heart's with Christ, when you are in a relationship with Christ, you'll exalt Him every single time. And you'll get the blessing. Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question. As we are in the Christmas season, the time of good news, good tidings, is it really good in your life? Is Christ precious? Are you pursuing Him? Are you thrilled with His Word? Is He number one? Look back at what you did last week. Look at what you spent your time on. Was Christ involved? Or is He an afterthought? He didn't give His life for you to be an afterthought. If Christ is not top on the list, if He didn't enter into your mind this week on a daily basis, if you didn't read your word, if you didn't pray, if you didn't seek the heart and mind of God, just right where you are, just recommit your life. He gave us His Son so that He could have a relationship with us. If you're not pursuing that, just right where you are, recommit your life to pursue God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to God. Never asked Him into your heart. You've never asked for forgiveness of sins. You've not given your life to Christ. Ask Him into your heart today. Ask Him for forgiveness. Turn everything over to Him. Our Father, we come to You today just thanking You. Thanking You that You take the veil off of our hearts and minds, that we're able to read Your Word and understand it. And I just pray, Lord, that we might all commit our lives to be teachers in a world that desperately needs You. I proclaim that we might truly be salt and light, that we might be ready to give an answer, that we might not worry about the consequences of this world, but just cling to You. In Jesus' name, amen.